Well, because we're doing something different this morning for the first time, so you are the guinea pigs. That always works when Gay is cooking a new meal. I don't know about this, so we'll just have to see. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that this is a day that you have made. And, Lord, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're going to focus on you, Lord, not our own circumstances, not our own situations, Lord, but you. We're going to seek your face, Lord, and seek your heart this morning. So I pray, God, that you would just allow us to touch you in a special way, Lord, that would bring back a touch into our own lives, Lord, that will change us and make us more like you. We just bless your name, Lord Jesus. Help us as we try something new this morning. Amen. If this goes, if it doesn't go, we won't put you there. And
you are. restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
The Lord God. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love, peace, and your joy in our lives.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies.
Today I noticed that a lot of these were about you are worthy, you are holy. It's all about him and it's not about us. And I've noticed that this week even, that as I have just had these unexplainably crazy thoughts pop into my head and sad thoughts that I just have gotten to the point where I just say, okay, Lord, here you go. You got to take care of that because I can't do it. I just worship your name. And when I was able to start doing that this week, I noticed a lot of things changed. It didn't change my circumstance, or, you know, that my mom is in a nursing home and it's not that great a nursing home, blah, blah, blah. But what it did, it changed my perspective. And a lot of times that's what we have to do. It won't change anything on the outside. God changes stuff on the inside. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. That's what he's most interested in.
So how's everyone doing this morning? Good? Awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord, Terry. got a new brother with us this morning, Terry. He called last Sunday during church, and then I didn't get back with him till like Wednesday afternoon. He called again on Wednesday saying, hey, I want somebody to come pick me up, so... Lives a little ways from here, and so I'm so glad you were able to join us this morning, brother. So I've prepared a message with the multimedia and everything, but I've been going through some difficult times in my life, and I want to basically give a testimony today of the goodness of God, of how much you can receive his grace when you need his grace. I'm going to start with a journal entry that I made at the very beginning of the year. I saw it was on January 1st. And I'm just going to read it, and I might share as I come to different things. But I know this was, you know, a personal thing between me and the Lord. I may not read all of it, but I think it might help someone. I know it helped me this morning when I read it. So it's a journal entry from January 1st, 2017. Well, here we are again, Lord. And I put a little smiley face. You know, this is very hard for me. I really don't know why, ... I text a lot, so the Lord gets my texts. I have known you most of my life now. I give him a little wink with that one. But lately, it seems, and I do mean seems, like I have not been able to connect with you properly. I know this is my own perception, but it has a level of reality that is hard to ignore. When we, and I mean you, Gay and I, started this journey 7 years ago, I thought I knew what I was doing. And then it became very apparent to me that I didn't. Now, while I was saying this, I was communicating like from, you know, that place of, you know, like longing and wanting answers. And then something just shifted right after that. And I said, I'm thankful, very thankful, for the revelations of you and the truths that you have brought into our lives. Then I started to just tell him what I was thankful for the things that he had revealed to me, things that I really didn't understand, still don't fully understand them, prior to the 7-year period. I am so thankful for the revelation of who you are and your desire to transform us into your very likeness. I am so thankful for the revelation of who you are and your desire to transform us into your very likeness. I don't know how many years I was saved. You know, I was blood bought. I was purchased. I was saved. I was commissioned. I was, you know, equipped. I was gifted. All those things. And yet I missed a really key principle. That he wanted me to know who he was. Not just what he did. Not just how amazing he was to save me. And how much he's equipping me to do many things for him. But just to know him. And then out of that knowing him, he had a desire for me to be transformed into his very likeness. That's powerful. That's a powerful one. That one, when it hit me in my heart, I'm just like, what? Now, these aren't all in order, but they kind of are. They're close to it. My iPad keeps switching around. Here's one. I am so thankful for the revelation that you desire for your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth as it is being done in heaven. How many of you prayed that prayer? Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we, you know, we have that understanding in our natural minds of what that means. But the reality started coming to me. By the grace of God, the revelation that whatever is happening in heaven, that means the glory of God around his throne. That means that the exact condition of people in heaven, as far as it comes, is sicknesses and diseases, mind, you know, issues, emotional issues, all those things. As it is in heaven, that is his desire for us to live here. When we get to heaven, you know, just wait until, but to receive heaven here now. That's a powerful revelation. Number 3, I'm so thankful for the revelation of the spiritual realm and that we are to enjoy a very spiritual experience with you, not just a natural experience with you. It's easy to enjoy a natural experience with God, and he will oblige. He will totally oblige us, where we can go through life, and yes, we can receive peace in times of trial. We can learn about him. We can grow in the word. We can become, you know, better Christians and better citizens and all those things. But a reality that in the unseen realm, we're to connect. That we're to have a relationship with an invisible God in the invisible realm, in our imaginations, in our hearts, setting our mind on things above. Those are realities that I had excluded or didn't really realize that they were for now. Anybody can jump in here too. This is, again, Mike Lindell's show. If someone wants to share something, say amen, or has something they want to even input. You don't have to wait till the end. Number 4, I'm thankful for the revelation of entering into your rest and ceasing from my own labors. Oh my goodness. This was another one that I didn't have to accomplish something to please him. I didn't have to do anything in my own strength that I could rest in him. And lately I've been entering into a place of non-rest, which is a place of conflict and striving and stressing. Yeah, there's one thing we're to strive to do. It's to enter into his rest. When we're in his rest, we're in his peace. When we're in his rest, we're in confidence that God is going to take care of whatever the circumstances are. Amen. Ceasing from my own labors. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to accomplish this walk on my own. And I don't have to become more like you just based on my own efforts. I can rest in the fact that your desire is to transform me into your likeness. Some of these kind of crisscross, but I'm so thankful for the revelation of your love and that I am loved and that there is nothing I have to do to earn your love or to keep your love to keep you in love with me. You just love me, period. He just loves us, period. There's not one person on the face of this earth that he doesn't love. Well, someone say, well, Pastor Mike, you just don't, that doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, Hitler, Jesus loved Hitler, God loved Hitler. Yes, he loved Hitler. He would have loved to see Hitler redeemed to the place where he could have been who he was called to be. Now, some may say, well, he was used, you know, for terrible things against the Jews and all of that. But I'm telling you, God loved all of the world. It wasn't excluded to just us sitting in here or us all sitting in churches or the United States or, you know, excluding Muslim countries. That's not God, the heart of God. The heart of God is for all to come to repentance, for all to know who Jesus Christ is, for all to receive the goodness of God in their lives. So they can fully repent and change their minds and live differently. He loves us. He loves you with an unconditional, unending, unqualified love. There is nothing that will disqualify you from God loving you. There may be something disqualifies you from allowing him to fully work in your life to his fullness, but he'll never stop loving you. And that brings a sense of comfort and a sense of, okay, I don't have to try to earn your love. How many have ever tried to earn their love from somebody? Anybody here? Nobody else? Wow. Okay, more honest. When you know something's going wrong and, you know, you're just, okay, what can I do to fix this? You know, we don't have to earn our love for God. He just loves us. I am thankful for the revelation of being a son and that I am your child and that you have a divine plan for me as a son, not just for me as a Christian. As another one of those that I thought God wanted me to be super Christian, you know, and that when there was an emergency, when there was, you know, a crisis, that I'd run into my phone booth and I'd pull out my Clark Kent outfit and get my big S, and now I'm super Christian. I can come in and rescue, and that the more super Christian tasks I did, the better Christian I was. I'll tell you what that leads you to: misery and heartache. Because the moment that you don't fulfill that super Christian duty, guess what? Well, I'm not a Christian, or I'm not a good Christian. I'm a bad Christian. Bemoaning the fact that, you know, that you're, you know, letting God down and all these things. When we're sons. And ladies, this is the part where you guys are a female son, but we're all sons. When God says sons, he doesn't just mean the men. He's not being sexist. Because it sounds kind of sexist at times, doesn't it? Especially for somebody new, maybe. Well, why does God keep pointing to men and sons and all this stuff? It's because we're children of God, but we're the sons of God is what we're called, male and female. And how all that works out in heaven, I don't know for sure. All I know is that we're sons.
above and beyond being a good Christian, we're sons. And what we learn is as sons is to align with our Father's heart and then be who he wants us to be, not what somebody else is. How many have done the mistake? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm sorry. How many have done that horrible mistake of looking at somebody, comparing their life with yours, and measuring up to their standards, which very rarely do we measure up. And then we think that because we're not measuring up to their standards, we're failing as a son or as a Christian. Listen, as sons and daughters, as the children of God, we all have a divine plan that God has for each and every one of us. I'm thankful for the revelation of worshiping you in spirit and in truth, even though I'm still trying to learn how to do that. I gave a wink to God. Yeah, that was another revelation. John chapter 4, he's speaking to the woman at the well, and he says, you know, God's not looking to dwell in houses that are built by man, and it's going to be the place where God dwells. He's going to be dwelling in those who are worshipers. Not just worshipers, worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth, because he is spirit. In spirit and in truth. That word truth means reality. That word spirit means breath. So somehow we're to really worship God with our very breath and in a true reality. Go ponder that one. I've still been pondering that one. We can come on Sunday morning, we can sing worship songs, but it doesn't mean we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth means we're getting down to the core of who we are and the core of who he is, and we're letting our core connect with his core in such a way that there's a dual habitation. There's an in him and there's a him in me. That's true worship. I'm thankful for the revelation of being a triune being and that my spirit has a very definite life of activity outside of my natural knowledge. This was another wake up for me. This happened back in 2013. And it was the summer. And the previous year I learned that I was a son. And those of you who've been here a long time, you've gotten these sermons. It's like, well, Pastor Mike, we've heard this. I'm just telling you, this was refreshing for my heart to go over these and remember the great things that God had communicated to all of us who have been here and to us here today. But that my spirit isn't just something that is like just independent from me, and I have no connection with it. Or my spirit isn't just something that's connected with me all the time and doesn't have any other connection with anything else. My spirit has a connection with God. And this all happened one night when I was starting to go to sleep. I thought to myself, is the Lord. Because wouldn't have come up with this my own thought. I wonder what my spirit's doing tonight while I sleep. Now, I'd been saved over 35 years, and I thought, for the first time, I wonder what my spirit's doing tonight while I sleep. And that started a process of me realizing that there is a spiritual life, that the unseen realm is real, and that my spirit maybe has been engaging and involving itself with it even while I'm asleep. And I've been growing while I'm sleeping during the night because my spirit's growing, my spirit's interfacing with God. That was a big revelation for me. Some of you are saying, I haven't heard that one. I am thankful for the revelation of being a triune being, that's spirit, soul, and body, and that my spirit has a very definite life of activity outside of my natural knowledge. I am thankful for discovering that the heavenly realms are truly accessible anytime freely, and that I can come boldly before your throne of grace. I'd prayed that many times. I taught on that. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. I thought that meant you could drop to your knees anytime and pray. That's what I thought that meant. It wasn't until he gave me the revelation of that I go there in my heart before the Father, before his throne of grace, before his very presence, before his glory. And that I can receive all that glory into my life in such a way that it transforms and changes me. That I can go to God, not only in the Bible, not only in prayer, not only in worship, but literally in my heart, I can go before Him. That was a big one. I'm thankful for the revelation that the Lord Jesus, that you are the door, and that I have access to the Father through you. I have access to the heavens through you. I have access to the supernatural existence, to a supernatural existence through you. I have access to everything I need through you. Jesus in John 10:9 said, I am the door. And he said, basically, if you enter into me, you will be saved. And you will be able to go in and out and find pasture. You'll be able to find food. You'll be able to find sustenance. But he is the door. He is the way. We learned that it's through Christ that we get back to the Father. That he is the way to the Father. But he's also the way to the supernatural realm. It's through his flesh that was torn and ripped because he hung on a cross. And I can have access to go boldly before the throne of grace. I'm thankful for the revelation of the power of my thought life or imagination, and that what I focus on, I become. Lately, I've been focusing on the wrong thing, and I've been becoming more and more depressed, more and more frustrated, more and more hopeless, because I've been focusing on those things. What you focus on, you become. And the Lord has given us a vivid imagination. And I don't have time to teach it all, but if I just say you're holding, you know, in your hand a juicy red apple, some of you will see a red apple. Some of you will see a gala. Some of you will see a red delicious. You have an imagination. God's given you imaginations. And our imaginations are to be used for his glory. Sanctified imaginations. Not just running rampant with, you know, whatever thought enters in and we just get a picture and go, oh, help me, Lord. You know, it's like, that can be the case. We can have imaginations that because of what we've been feeding our soul, our imaginations can be driving us off course. But we can have a sanctified, that means a separated imagination for the will and purposes of God. And then when we let our imagination, what we let our thoughts, as it says, that I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind or whose imagination is stayed on me, is focused on me. He'll keep us in perfect peace as we focus on him. I'm very thankful for the revelation of your communion table, and that through communion I have access and privilege to have common union with you. Communion to me used to be a wonderful experience where I'd remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. I remember the work of the cross. I remember me being saved because of that work. And I'd be very grateful. I would think that potentially my body could be healed because of the work of the cross. But I missed the fact that communion meant common union. That when I'm taking those communion elements, I'm having an opportunity to exchange my broken life with his whole life. I'm having a chance to transform even my genetics because his blood purifies and washes not only my mind, will, and emotions, but also my body. And to go along with that, I thank you for the revelation of the life of God that's in your blood, and that your life can be received when I take communion. The Bible's very clear, the life is in the blood. The blood was not to be drank by even the blood of animals, was not to be consumed, it was to be left alone. That was God's command, because the life was in the blood. And what did Jesus give us in the cup? He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you do this, remember me. And we learned that as we come before the Lord, that the cup of blessing that we bless is the blood of Christ. And so we get to participate with the life of God. I'm so thankful for the revelation there is more to your word than what I have known or been taught in the past, and that I can enter into a place of intimacy and engage through those new discoveries. In other words, the word of God is not limited to the words on the pages. It's not limited to the teaching that I had 5 years ago, even though every single word may have been explained and it may have been cross-referenced and all those things, because it is living and active. It's, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the Constitution is a fixed document. And there's constitutionalists who just say, this is just a fixed document. Then there's ones over here who says, oh, no, the Constitution is a living, breathing document. Well, we've added to it. We've had, amendments. So we obviously know that we can have constitutional amendments. But the Word of God is not like that. The Word of God is literally alive. And so the Word of God becomes to us what we need it to be. The Word of God to Jesse is different than the Word of God is to me. The Word of God to Gay is different than the Word of God is to me. But you cannot ever learn it all. Even in one verse, if you were to take one verse, even the simplest verse, Jesus wept. And you take that verse and say, well, okay, I've looked at the Greek, I've looked at the potential Hebrew from those, and you know what? I've got it all figured out. No, you don't, because it's a living document. And the Holy Spirit can all of a sudden drop something in you one day, and you will have a new revelation of Jesus weeping. You will have a new revelation of what it was, just like with you when he looked at Mary and Martha, and he saw love, and he saw the law. From just those two words, you'll never get it. And until you come to the place where you realize that you're not going to figure it out, the truth will elude you. Because the truth is always being imparted into us. Truth is always growing in us. The reality of God is always becoming a greater reality. If it's not, then our Christian walk has become stagnant and stale. Because he is without knowing. That's what the Bible says. So a lot of us think, well, we get to heaven, we're going to know God. No, he's without knowing. You're going to know him better than you know him now, but you're going to be always discovering who he is. Even the angels who have been around him pretty long time, The creatures around his throne are going, holy, holy, holy. They're going, wow, 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 you're amazing all the time. Because they're always discovering more of who God is. We're not going to get bored in heaven. Well, we got God figured out now. Wasn't that big of a deal. I thought I was going to be, you know, like, no, we're going to always go, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what, oh my goodness, is because he's without end. So the truth that he's giving to us is without end. So our job as believers, as sons and daughters, is to continue to chase the truth and sell it not. And what we gain, but then go for more truth, which will build upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And we'll grow from glory to glory, faith to faith, grace to grace, all of those things that we read about, because we're chasing after God, who is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am so thankful for the revelation that I have originated from you with a divine plan to know you in your fullness, to experience you in a way that would be impossible without me being here on earth. He said to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. What all that means, I don't know. But I do know that God has a book. And somehow he chose to place me here. And that because of my existence here, I get to know him better, that I would not know any other way. So this life doesn't have to be a drag and a bummer. It can be the most amazing experience of discovering God. Like the angels can't discover him. Do you realize that? The angels see him face to face, but they don't know him as you know him. Because they have the cloud of always seeing. Something happens when we grab hold of something by faith. It does something to us. It transforms us. It roots us and grounds us in the truth. So that even though we don't see certain things of God, we have greater revelations of God that the angels can't even grasp because they see him. Does that make sense? I'm so thankful for the revelation and truth that you live and that in you I live and I move and have my being. That in him, that my existence, even before I was saved, was in him. I know that sounds weird, but what happened was, is when I got saved, I got a revelation that I was in him. And then I came out of darkness into light. See, it's not that we don't know God, it's just that we don't know that we know God. Did you guys hear that? It's not that we don't know him, it's that we don't know that we know him. See, because there's a part of us that know him. Every unbeliever out there, there's a part of them that knows him. That's why they have good. That's why they love their kids. That's not coming from just them. That's the part of God that they know. They don't know they know him. And so when we come to the place where Jesus is Lord, Jesus is your Savior, Jesus is your entrance into a new life, then all of a sudden we get to see what's going on. We come out of darkness into light. We're translated out of darkness into light, but we are already in him before we... That's what the Bible says. Acts 16, you can look it up. It says that in him you live and move and have your being. And Paul was speaking to a bunch of unbelievers. They did not know God. That's why you don't have to sit there and try to jerk somebody's arm to get to know God. Just let them just know you... know him, you just don't know that you know him. So let your heart open up to knowing him fully. See, when Holy Spirit was drawing me, and I hadn't received Christ, he was already starting to take me out of darkness. He's already starting to turn on a little bit of light. Well, I wonder if there's more to this life than just life. I remember looking up in the stars saying that. I remember the Holy Spirit saying, you don't want to do those things anymore. This is before Jesus had been introduced to me. This is before anyone had said, do you want to know Christ? Holy Spirit was already working in me. Sorry, I didn't mean to get so excited about that one. I'm so thankful to the discovery of the Hebrew and Greek languages and the beauty and the power that those languages can bring to understand more of who you are and who you are in us. I won't go there anymore, but the original languages of the text have been a door that has opened up to a greater level of understanding what was being said at the time because of the limitations of the English language. I'll leave that there. Fortunately, there are so many tools now, one more thing, that we can get that can help us to translate these languages so that we don't have to know them like a Bible scholar. They're already, somebody's already done the work for us. We just have to take a little bit of time. I'm so thankful for you being in my life and not leaving me orphaned and letting me know you in an intimate way. I've already kind of communicated that. Thank you, Lord, for removing the blinders that kept me from seeing you for who you are. And then I added this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful for the revelation that if I open my mouth, you will fill it. The revelation that you have the words that you want me to speak, and I just need to be obedient and open to the power that is in me. I know, Lord, there are countless truths that you have revealed to me over the last 7 years, and even though I'm not specifically mentioning them one by one, I want you to know that I'm thankful for all of them. I don't know what that says. I'm thankful for all of them, the joy and passion that they have brought in my life. I think they're supposed to say and instead of asked. All of them and the joy and the passion that they have brought to my life. I didn't read down that far this morning. So recounting the goodness of God, recounting what he had done for me back on January 1st kind of energized me when I did that. And I don't know, it's like
Today's the 29th. Didn't take me too long to get off track again. You know, life happens. Anybody have any issues of life come up? I mean, for crying out loud, just the storms can be irritating enough. And, you know, some people, when there's not much sun, they can get affected. You know, it's like a certain type of condition. So it's not like it's been sunny and bright and we can get out and mow our lawns and all those things where you kind of feel like you're living. But it really doesn't matter what it looks like outside, at least for me. I have to come to that revelation. Really doesn't matter how many people are in here on Sunday. I mean, as much as I love seeing everyone, and I love it when it's more full, it makes it a little more exciting, but that shouldn't govern my joy. And it doesn't matter what other people say, as long as I'm doing what he says. And it doesn't matter what other people think, as long as I want him to think of me only a certain way. See, we can let everyone else in our life and all the circumstances in our life steal us from the very life that's been given to us. We can let the joy that was set before us be stolen because we let the trial stop us from looking at the joy anymore. So we can't even make it through the trial to get to the joy. See, there's a way which seems right to man, yet in the end it leads to death. Or there's a way that seems right to man, in the end leads to bankruptcy. Or fill in the blank. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. The key is trusting in the Lord. That's the one that eludes us. That's the one that seems, when you start to get it, all of a sudden you're looking, what's going on? I don't understand. Well, you stop trusting. He's the one who brought us out of the pit, folks. If you don't know Jesus, he's the one who brings you out of the pit. He's the one that takes you out of that dark place and helps you start to see the light. Starts to exposing your deeds and going, wow, Lord, can you change this mess that you've brought revelation in to the place where I see how I am? And he willingly changes us. But he's the one that started the work in us. Why do we think that we have to finish it? Why do we think that we have to worry about the state that we're in at any particular time? Now, if you're just off over and you're just indulging in affairs of this life that are ending in, you know, hurt and pain and causing you, you know, heartache and others' heartache, you know, we need to stop those. But if we're just going through life and it's not turning out as we thought it, we wanted it to, when we're still chasing after him, it should be okay. Like Moses said, what'd you say, brother? Have hope. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And thank you for that word. Took 7 days for it to drop in, but... Huh? You had the same thing? Yeah, I'm sure you probably walked away and go, be encouraged, Moses. Listen to yourself, right? Do you have something to share? Sounds. Right. Right. No.
Minimal as we might think that it is because of our understanding and our thought. We underestimate ourselves. Don't underestimate the word of God.
Exactly.
No matter how small it might be.
Whether you're just reading some thank yous.
Amen.
The key is being obedient. And that's what I sensed that we were to do today, was for me to just read those to you. And I hope they were encouraging. And Phyllis needs prayer. Okay. Is there anyone else that needs prayer? Why don't you come on up and go ahead and ask.
Oh, you did.
Yes. Does anyone need prayer? Moses? Betty? Praise the Lord. Do you want to share what?
For my brother with his kidney. That's, not too sure
is that Jerry?
Huh?
Is it Jerry? Or what's your brother's?
Jerry. And then we were told that Ken had a mini stroke.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And it hasn't been handled till just now.
Oh, wow. Did he go to the hospital or?
No.
It's just.
He had it about.
It's Ken,
8 months ago.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't even know it.
Did he know it?
Yeah, he figured it out.
Oh.
But two of his fingers are still numb and stuff. So. But the doctor has got control of everything, so.
Oh, good.
But both of them are in very need of prayer. Because my brother only has one kidney, and it's only 35%.
So he can't afford to, to have any more failure. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your power, God, that is evident, Lord, in our lives when we're weak. And Lord, we know that, Jerry right now, God, is in a very weak state.
Yes.
And Lord, as I shared earlier, you love him. Lord, you love him,
yes.
And you love him with an everlasting love. So Lord, we ask wherever he is, whether he's at home or at the hospital right now, Lord, we ask that you would touch him in the room that he's in. Lord, we release the light of God into that place. Lord, we release the health of God into that place. We release the peace of God into that place. That would comfort all.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you can turn around any situation. There's nothing impossible for you. So we speak life to this kidney now in Jesus' name. We speak for it to operate and function as it was designed to do in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you do all things well, Lord. So we ask you to work in Jerry's life well today. And right now for Ken, Lord, we pray that whatever damage has occurred during this stroke and he just worked through it, Lord, we pray that you would bring restoration. Lord, we don't care about what the report says of how old he is and that's just part of getting old, Lord. We believe, Lord, that you are above and beyond, Lord, natural reports. You are above and beyond, Lord, what we see with the natural eye or even think or believe, Lord, in our own minds, Lord. You are above, God, our unbelief, Lord. So we speak life to Ken's body. We pray right now for that hand. That those fingers, Lord, would be functioning again, Lord. That he would have full activity. Lord, just send your power right now down his arm, Lord. And bring restoration to those nerves. Restoration to those cells that were damaged during. In his brain, Lord, whatever was hurt and damaged, God. We just speak life right now over his brain for full restoration in Jesus' name. Yes, touch your daughter. Touch your daughter, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Evident, God, as her body, Lord, as her being is, Lord, in heaven, let it be so here on earth. Fully, fully operational, fully functional. Thank you, Lord. Let your glory be manifested. In Jesus' body, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for our brother.
Receive it all.
We thank you, Lord, for his heart. And God, we know, Lord, that sometimes our body is weak. And Lord, it doesn't function and operate, Lord, as you have designed us, Lord. So right now, God, we pray that this body would come into full alignment. Full alignment as you have designed Terry's body to function, God. Lord, every cell, every organ, every tissue, come into obedience to the power of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Come into full alignment with the glory that is resident in our brother. Yes. And bless him. Bless him, Lord. We speak a blessing over his life. We thank you, Lord, that he was able to join us today. And God, we pray that he would find, Lord, that place that he so desires, Lord, that he's looking for, God. Yes. Let the light of the glorious gospel shine bright in our brother right now in Jesus' name.
Brighter.
Yeah.
Just brighter because you carry the grace and the power and the light of Jesus on you.
Yes.
You carry that.
Yeah.
I saw it when you walked in this morning. His grace is going to be even greater.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Greater dosage operating in him. Increase the dosage. Lord, turn up the dial. Increase the dosage of your goodness. Increase the dosage of your power. Increase the dosage of your light and your glory in his life. That it would come into alignment with how you have designed it, that Moses' body would be fully functioning as you have designed it to be, as it is in heaven. Let it be working here on earth, and give the doctors wisdom, and give him a comfort in his heart and a peace in his heart that it's all going to be okay. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Just real quick. It was a few years ago that we were going to a doctor that is a born-again Christian doctor. And when I walked in and he saw me, he did all the doctor stuff that he's supposed to do, but then he sat down and he began to speak to me spiritual concepts, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool, double dose, you know. And what he said has absolutely changed my life. Let me tell you why. He asked me, he said, do you believe in the work of the cross? that Jesus going to the cross, do you believe that work is complete? You can be saved through it. You can be healed. You can all of the things that you need. And I said, yes. He said, so the provision that's already been made by the act on the cross is for you, right? And I'm like, yeah. It's already been provided. Doesn't say it's going to be provided. It already has been provided. Well, this earthly, messed up body, it needs to line up with the provision of healing that the cross gave by the act of what Jesus did. So when I began to pray that way, I noticed a big change in my body. And so, Terry, I'm feeling this specifically for you, that as you speak out, you need to speak life over your body to line up with the provision of the cross, because he came to heal everything, right? All of it. So let's speak life today, people. Amen. Father, we're thankful, God, for the opportunity we've had today to come and to love and be loved by you. Father, as we are getting ready to face another week, Lord God, would you be in each one of us in a different way, to where we know, because you know, that we've been changed by what happened here today. We don't need to walk out the same way that we walked in. That we can walk out encouraged. That we can walk out healed. That we can walk out, God, knowing you a little better than we did before. And Father, help us to have our eyes open to see you in everything that we're doing. Help our perspectives to change enough to where we see you working in that homeless person maybe on the corner asking for money, or us being able to see you working in that coworker that cannot speak English without saying other things with it. Lord, that we can see you in maybe our mean boss or our mean sister or, you know, whatever. God, help us to see you and help us to be able to change our perspective, that you love that boss. You love that worker. You love that homeless man on the corner. And you love me and us. Let your love pour out, God. In Jesus' name.